They have done a lot of good things through the years for struggling people in Detroit. And now Cass Community Social Services has come up with a way to really help homeless and low-income Detroiters. Tiny houses, each one with a different design, each on its own lot, a true neighborhood within the city. With us now is the Executive Director of Cass Community Social Services, Reverend Faith Fowler. Welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, we're hearing more talk nationally about tiny houses as a way to help homeless people. So exactly how tiny?
So we're going to build houses that are between 300 and 400 square feet. Some will be studio. Some will have one bedroom. A few will have lofts, but mostly not.
And how many are you thinking?
We're trying to do 25. It depends on, of course, money and volunteer help. But the first one is slated, the foundation will go in within 2 weeks. The house will take 5 weeks to build, and then we'll start six more after that and build them six at a time, again, as funding is available.
And, of course, certainly one big bridge that needs to be crossed has already crossed because you have the land already.
Yes, yes. We were able to scoop up quite a bit of land. There are 300 vacant lots in the mile around our Cass campus, so there's lots of opportunity for developing more of community.
I'm looking at these pictures, and we're going to have them up on the web so people can see how absolutely beautiful these are. So they're all different. It really has a – it doesn't have a prefab – everything looks the same, barracks-like look.
Right, right. We did that on purpose. I know we could build them all the same cheaper, but I'm not sure that's what we want. We want people to have a sense of my home is different and distinguished and attractive. And so we really scoured the internet and went looking at some places to see what would fit in together within our square footage.
Dollars are important. Look at the way I just see the look on your face. What could this project ultimately cost if you take it to where you want it to go with, say, up to 25 tiny houses?
Yeah, so we're looking at $1.5 million, which may sound large to you or small. It costs us roughly $50,000 to do the smallest of the homes and $60,000 to do the largest of the homes. Which is about the third of a cost of a Habitat home in Detroit, for instance, which is larger, usually has a couple bedrooms and a couple bathrooms. But our people, very poor people, homeless or otherwise low income, can't qualify for the mortgages for houses that cost that much. So this deal is even different than any other situation I know of in the United States for homeless people, in that folks will rent for 7 years, and at the end of 7 years, they will own the home. The amount will stay the same all 7 years. It's a very modest amount based on the size of the house. We then will act as the landlord during that time, using their rent money to pay their taxes, their insurance, their water, their security system. And then after 7 years, they won't have to pay rent anymore. And so they'll be able to use that money to pay the things we were having to pay. And so we think we've set them up for success. And what it really means to low-income people is that they'll have an asset, probably for the first time in their lives, that they'll have something they can borrow against, use as collateral. They'll have something they can sell to get something else. They'll have something to leave their family should they die. And all of that is different when I think of the people we work with. They don't even own a bicycle. They don't own a car. So to have a house that gives them that sort of leverage or safety net is really something phenomenal.
What kind of criteria have you set up? Who are you looking for to live in these homes?
Yeah, so they'll be low income, not no income. So some people have criticized us. You can't take a homeless person off the street and give them a home. They're right. You have to have some money in order to pay your light bill, right? Or eventually your taxes. So they'll have to make, and they can make it a variety of ways, about $900 a month. But to have that kind of income and then to own a home is, again, just the American dream in the best way, we think. We've set it at 900 because HUD says a third of your income should be as high as you go on housing and utilities. And so that, you know, leaves them money to buy food and clothing and other things and still have a very nice, as you said, attractive home.
Oh, very much so. You and your team at Cass Community Social Services have already rehabbed an apartment building for disabled homeless and low-income people.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how you've seen that change in their lives and what you expect to see when people move into these tiny homes.
Yeah. I wish you could have been there the day we handed out the keys to the largest of the apartments. People were openly weeping. I mean, it just, everything was new. Everything was shiny. They were having such a reaction to the privacy and the dignity. And and they've mostly remained relatively happy. Occasionally you get somebody who's not. But by and large, it's a wonderful thing to see people gain their independence. The tiny houses will be set up so they can do things they couldn't do in the homeless programs, like control their own thermostat. They can have a pet for the very first time. They can have company even overnight. They can plant a garden. They can plant flowers. They can, you know, do all sorts of, they can play the music loud or walk through the house naked, which of course they can't do in many of our programs. So we think even during the rental period, they'll be very happy. And then, of course, once they own it, everything will change.
Well, it just changes how you feel yourself. So mm-hmm. that change becomes a seed planted inside
right.
and then grows.
Yeah. So I should point out that not every home will go to somebody who is experiencing homelessness.
Correct.
Some will be for seniors. Some will be for students, especially people who age out of foster care. Mm. Because we want a little diversity in the neighborhood, and we don't want folks to say, and that's where the homeless live.
Hmm? There you go.
And we made it a small part of our community and attached it to the pedestrian campus so they could access services.
And while you're doing this, while you're giving people homes who might not otherwise have them, you're tackling some issues that the city is mm-hmm. facing all over. Let's talk a little about that.
Sure. So we have all of this vacant property, which, of course, isn't generating any tax dollars mm-hmm. for the city. So all of a sudden, 25 properties will go back into the tax system. It's also good to have a density in an area, obviously, because then you bring in other services. We're talking about grocery stores and other things, not just for the 25 houses, but the 25 on top of the 325 who are already living with us. And so that creates a sense of goodness for the city. Beyond that, you'll have people coming into the shelters and coming into housing programs with us who will see the success of the people who are now stakeholders in the neighborhood and begin thinking to themselves, I can do it too. There's no reason I can't be a homeowner too. Again, maybe they'll be the first person in their family ever to have owned a home. They'll have to figure out how to clean the gutters like the rest of us. But it's a good learning curve.
Now, how easily do you think this idea could be replicated in other areas in Detroit?
Well, certainly we have plenty of vacant property in Detroit. Tiny home living isn't for everyone. In fact, what I say to people, usually middle class or upper class people would think about moving into a tiny home as, you know, getting rid of stuff and scaling back so that you're living in a very small space. People who are poor are going to think about, well, I have all this space and all this privacy I haven't had before. So it'll be a different reality for folks. We're looking even at a phase two that would involve 2 and 3 and 4 bedrooms on tiny homes that would include families, because these are too small for families. But we knew we couldn't do everything at once.
But you want that vision. It is interesting. Somewhere I saw this posted online and I was reading comments. And the first comment was, well, why do you want to build tiny homes? Why don't you rehab all those vacant homes in Detroit? And, I just got done reading Detroit Hustle by Amy Heimerl. It's her account of rehabbing one of these ruined houses. Mm-hmm. They paid some $400,000.
Right.
It's astronomical, and you can't get home improvement loans for those houses. So for when you say $1.5 million
yeah.
to build 25 tiny homes, that's 2 or 3 mm-hmm. derelict homes.
Yeah. And we have rehabbed.
We've rehabbed yes.
7 buildings now, apartment buildings. And it's not that we're opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
We simply live in a neighborhood that there aren't many in good enough shape to rehab. And we think occasionally even poor people deserve something new. So we're excited about that.
What is your ultimate vision for this community and the people who will live in these homes?
So I've been at CAST 23 years, and most days I'm happy doing what I do. But I really have started thinking about what we can do systemically to lift people out of poverty. There's been a lot of the presidential conversation about income inequality, but next to none about asset inequality. And without an asset, people easily slip into and stay in poverty. And so if we can find ways for them to create a financial safety net, maybe through homes, maybe through savings accounts. I mean, there are many ways to approach it, but I really wanted to do something that had a long-term impact on poor people so that they could enjoy part of the American dream.
Well, you can find out more by going to the Cass Community Social Services Facebook page and follow the Tiny Homes Project. See some of these beautiful pictures, and we'll get these pictures up also on our page at stateside page at michiganradio.org. Reverend Faith Fowler is, of course, the executive director of Cass Community Social Services. Always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much.